Welcome back into 96.5, the fan. Edited version, I hope. Mac Borey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens here with you. The Royals move on.
Giddy up, giddy up, giddy up, move on.
As they continue to do their playoff thing, thanks to Josh Ferner, who's joined us every day this week. Maybe we'll give him a day tomorrow. Maybe
we're
not.
We'll see about it. We're kind of considering giving him a day off tomorrow.
We're not giving our next guy a week off, Mr. Ben Maller, who will join the show right now. And Bob, take it away.
Yeah, of course. It is baseball playoff time. It's Yankees. It's Royals. It's feeling like a kid all over again. And Ben Maller, who does overnights on Fox Sports Radio right here on 96.5 The Fan, is brought to you by The Landing in Liberty. And Ben, I tell you what, man, I'm feeling like a kid. It's 1978 all over again.
Yeah, I love playoff baseball. I'm glad you guys have embraced playoff baseball. It's good to be on with you again. I spent all day the last couple days watching playoff baseball from when I got up. I do the overnight show and then the entire day. And it is both, I love it and I hate it at the same time because it is the great equalizer where a team like the Royals that doesn't have, you know, the full lineup and all that, they can have tremendous success this time of the year, and you don't see that in the other sports. You rarely see that other than hockey. Baseball's the one where you get a team that's just a scrappy team, and they get some good pitching, and they can go on a run. So it's much different. And, like, I'm a Dodger fan. The Dodgers are loaded, but there's no guarantee they're not going to fall asleep and get knocked out. And the Royals, I was very impressed with. The Orioles, if you looked at the lineup side by side, you'd say clearly the Orioles are the better team. They have the better lineup. But it's all that matters is what you do in the moment. And obviously the Royals just did a little bit more, just a little bit more. So congratulations to them.
And that's the beauty of the baseball playoffs. I think it's the hardest postseason to handicap, Ben, because the sport changes so differently. And every other sport does change in the postseason. But the baseball postseason is completely different from the regular season, and people are just looking at names of teams because everybody's such a casual baseball fan. I think the Royals match up great with the Yankees, man, and I think the Royals are going to beat the Yankees in this series.
Well, that would be quite the story if that happens. I got to see it. I mean, the Yankees are very similar to the Dodgers, and they have big-name players all over the place, but they have a reputation of not delivering in big moments, and you know, Aaron Judge, the captain of the Yankees and all that, but if they lose to the Royals, he'll never hear the end of it after signing the extension he had. And there's definitely, if you look at the pendulum of pressure, the Royals are playing with house money. So for them, it's like, yeah, if they win, it's great. Everyone will love it. The town will love it. But the Yankees, if they somehow blow this and Juan Soto leaves as a free agent, this is a total boondoggle for the New York Yankees. But the recipe, I actually like the Royals in the first couple games being on the road. We were talking about this in our production meeting back in the day, Bob, about how you need in the baseball playoffs, if you score first, I always feel the road team has an advantage. You score if you have a good bullpen and you can score first, the immense pressure that's on the other team, the better team. And as the game progresses, and then you start bringing in these relief pitchers that are all throwing 100 miles an hour or close to it, and they've all kind of zippity-doo-dah pitches and all that, it really becomes a problem situation for the better team. And it's kind of like golfers, the last day of a major at the Masters. The choke factor is at a 10 in baseball for these top-rung players. So, yeah, I'd rather be on the road. The Royals are in a better situation starting out on the road.
I was trying to think about this last night, talking to a group of buddies, Ben. The Yankees are who of the NFL?
That's a good question. The Yankees,
thank you.
Like in recent years, the Yankees, so I was going to say the Chargers, but the Chargers haven't been a playoff team. Chargers are like Philip Rivers, maybe. Like they were in the playoffs, they had good teams, good players, but they didn't get it done. Like I don't know who that team in the NFL would be recently, but
Buffalo.
Yeah, Buffalo's. Yeah, Josh Allen. Buffalo would probably be a team that you'd say that's a team that's should have gotten it done. And then, of course, the famous game at Arrowhead where they gagged it in the final seconds there. So yeah, that Buffalo would be about right. Like, but it's every year with the Yankees. Right? It's nonstop with the Yankees and the amount of attention, like the Orioles and the Royals, I mean, that was a small series in terms of hype and all that. But this thing's going to be over the top, especially if the Mets get knocked out later today. Then it's all on the Yankees for the New York market.
Yeah, and you mentioned Aaron Judge, right, coming up big. I think this, look, this is the moment now that we've been waiting for with Bobby Witt. It's Bobby Witt versus Aaron Judge. It's MVP 1 versus MVP 1B, and you have an opportunity, if you're Bobby Witt, to show the baseball world why you are the true MVP. Aaron Judge has an opportunity to go out there and lead the Yankees to a championship, which he's never done, you know, the greatest Yankee to never lead his team to a championship type stuff. I just think all the pressure is on the Yankees, but for Bobby Witt, man, this is a great opportunity to show the world how good he is.
Yeah, it is. It's not going to affect the MVP because that's already done. It's like it's based on the regular season. But yeah, it'll make the people that vote for Aaron Judge look bad if Bobby Witt just absolutely runs circles around Aaron Judge in this series. And he's already got more RBIs than Mike Trout in the playoffs, so he's off to a good start in that regard. And Aaron Judge, as we've discussed here, with all his accolades and the MVP award, the All-Star game, and being in the All-Star game all the time, and all the different accolades he's gotten. Yeah, when you play with the Yankees, the standard is you're supposed to win the World Series. And I hate saying it's been a while. It doesn't seem like it's been that long, but it has been a while since the Yankees actually won the World Series. You got to go back. Was that A-Rod, the last team that won? They had A-Rod on it. And he's been out of baseball for a good amount of time now.
Is there as you transition to the NFL, I know there's a decent NFC South game tonight. There's the Falcons and the Bucks. I think at least gets your attention. At least it will here for myself, because there's really nothing else to watch since my team clinched. I done. But in the NFL, is there like a team that you still don't believe in that might be there? Like, is Seattle that team? Do you really believe Minnesota? Or is there maybe a team we're not talking about that we should be?
Yes, I don't believe, Dusty. I do not believe in Seattle. My show's on in Seattle. I've been at loggerheads with I've been at war with the fine people of Seattle. I just don't trust Geno Smith. And Geno Smith's like the leading passer in the NFL. I just don't trust the guy. Seattle's defense was exposed by the Lions in that game when Jared Goff had the perfect game and all that. Minnesota, I believe in Minnesota's defense. I don't believe in Sam Darnold yet. Four games is not enough for me to put away the demons of watching Sam Darnold back in the day. And so there's a couple right there at the very top. And then the one that I actually do believe in, I think they'll be a playoff team this year, is the Washington Commanders with Jaden Daniels. I know it's a small sample size, but he's the real deal. And I buy him. And I'm also another team that has a good record, not a great record, 3-1. The Houston Texans have not impressed anybody despite 3-1. They just kind of, they're barely getting by. I think they've been outscored this year for whatever that's worth. And there's just something missing. They do not have the same razzmatazz they had at the end of last year in Houston.
You mentioned Ben Maller, Jaden Daniels being the real deal. We have the real deal here in Patrick Mahomes. And the reason I bring that up is because how quickly will Chicago fans be crying that we took Trubisky over Patrick Mahomes and then we took Caleb Williams over Jaden Daniels?
Oh, yeah. I mean, no end in sight on that. I mean, please. I mean, the Bears fans. Caleb Williams, although his nails look good. I mean, he's very good. He's all groomed.
Mm-hmm.
Well-groomed when he's out there playing quarterback for the Bears. But, yeah, the Bears' offense is a hot mess. And when you see what Jaden Daniels is doing, and then you're like, well, obviously he's not Mahomes, but he's that next guy that you're looking for. And all these guys, every draft, Bob, and we all – and Dusty, I mean, we do sports radio, and most of us spend 3 or 4 months a year obsessing about quarterbacks in the NFL draft, and then most of them stink. And there's Jaden Daniels going out there and actually living up to the scouting report and all that. So it's encouraging, because I know next year it's the same cycle. It's going to repeat itself. And the top quarterbacks in college, we're going to be talking about them. And most of them will blow when they get to the NFL. So it's nice when a guy hits. And I like him. And the other problem, guys, a guy like Jaden Daniels, I know eventually everyone in the national media is going to praise him. And then I'm going to hate him. So I have to like him now, because there's this point of demarcation where everyone says how great he is, and then I turn on him. So I'm not there yet, so I want to enjoy this before everyone else starts pumping the tires on him, and then I have to go somewhere else.
Where's Devontae Adams going to end up somewhere else?
Hey, I would send him, if the Chiefs want him, if I'm the Raiders, I would send him to the Chiefs. If they want to send a first-round pick, I would have no problem if I'm the Raiders doing that. But considering that Aaron Rodgers is the GM by proxy of the Jets, and he's running the show there, it's obvious there's this kumbaya relationship between Davante Adams and the you know, the quarterback Aaron Rodgers. So I would think that would be the obvious one. I would keep an eye on Buffalo, though. They've been playing well. They lost to the Ravens. They need to replace Stephon Diggs. They didn't replace him. That would be another one I would keep an eye on. And it's great for the Raiders because, unlike Stephon Diggs, who was basically given away to the Houston Texans, Davante Adams, this is a midseason player that you can get. If you think you have a chance to win the Super Bowl, you got to spend a little bit of money to get that player. So this is actually, it works out well, because the Raiders, by the time the Raiders are good again, Davante Adams will be on television or doing a podcast somewhere.
No doubt. Ben, we appreciate the time. Enjoy Thursday night baseball, game three of Mets and Brewers. We got Saturday football. We got Sunday football. And of course, we got the ALDS, Kansas City versus New York. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, all weekend. Thanks, guys.
Ben Maller brought to you by The Landing in Liberty here on 96.5 The Fan. Of course, you can catch Ben overnights right here on 96.5 The Fan and Fox Sports Radio. And we got the big baseball weekend. We got a big football weekend coming up. We got a lot going on here in Kansas City. Boy, it's good to be alive, isn't it?
Mizzou's got a big game this weekend.
The only big game in college football this weekend is Mizzou A&M.
Yeah, because our Buffaloes are on a bye.
That's right. Kansas has been on a bye since August.
What? Our Buffalo. My Buffaloes?
No, okay? It's Bob's too. That's fair.
Yeah, no. My well, Ohio Binkley, State Buckeyes.
Now Binkley's on the bandwagon.
Binkley's on the bandwagon. Oh, yeah, tell you something. Just me now. Travis Hunter.
He's the best player in football.
He should be the Heisman Trophy winner. Actually, Ryan Williams in Alabama should be the Heisman Trophy winner.
No. He's going to have his opportunity.
Come on. That's my guy.
17 years old.
Ryan was awesome.
Let's go, Brett.
Who are your... Because Carson Beck's gone. He's out. Right? He's at least he's getting defended by his wonderful girlfriend.
Yes.
Yeah, wonderful.
Good for her. Yeah, they don't like Carson Beck right now. He's public enemy number one.
Well, they
one.
Said he looks like Timmy from South Park.
He kind of does. Yeah.
And then she came
libla,
out.
Timmy, libla.
Yeah, and then she came out on social media and was like, you know, you guys shouldn't make fun of the way people look. I'm like, probably because nobody's ever made fun of the way you look. But either way, I feel like she will be single soon. But I would say it is Travis Hunter, the kid from Miami.
Cam Ward.
Yeah.
He's got to be up there. Yeah.
And then Milroe. I think those are my three top three. I think the Heisman, as of right now, I think that's the... Am I wrong, Mac?
I think you are, because there shouldn't be anybody else's name other than Travis Hunter in the conversation.
That's
there really should be. And you know what? It's going to be... He's not going to win it, I don't think, because you're going to have some staunchy SEC person who's like, well, I don't know. Colorado doesn't play anybody.
Well, the thing that's going to give him an advantage over the quarterback award is the fact that he does play two different positions.
I know. He should be the Heisman Trophy winner hands down. There should be no debate. He should be the unanimous Heisman Trophy winner this year. But you know it's not going to be that way because, again, you're going to have some Southern gentleman who doesn't think the Pac-12 and the Big 12 deserve to be in the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I do declare the Heisman Trophy belongs in the South.
Mm.
And we shall rise again with the Heisman.
Is that the bad guy from Wild Wild West?
I don't know who that was.
I think that was Michael Scott from the I Do Declare episode for when they have the murder mystery.
Mr. West.
I do. Why does every Southern accent do start with that, though? I do declare. Because it kind of puts you into that Southern mold, right? I do declare the Heisman Trophy is staying in the state of Alabama.
Is that Brian Kelly?
Yeah, right. Who does a better fake Southern accent, me or Brian Kelly?
It's not even close. I hear a voice like that, I run away. I am Forrest Gump down the driveway, like knee brace, whatever. I don't care. I hear that voice, I'm like,
and you know the guy,
I don't know what you're going to say next, and I know where you probably lean.
And you know, the guy that you're imagining too looks just like Colonel Sanders. White suit, bolo tie, you know,
let's
having some country time lemonade.
Let's see what mama has to say about alligator's teeth. No, Colonel Sanders, you're wrong. College football kind of takes a seat back this week. I mean, I know Mizzou plays. I think they played 11.
Oh, yeah, it's an early game. It
so
is,
you get,
yeah.
You get, right. So I can kind of think your Saturday, I would assume, we'll probably watch Mizzou and A&M.
Yeah.
Just and then roll right into the baseball.
And then 2 o'clock, I'll tell you what, man, that 30-minute
breakup time from Tuesday to Wednesday had me crushed.
Oh, you, me too.
I was sitting there going, 31 minutes till game time. I'm like, oh my God, get this game started, please.
Yeah, because I showed up about 3 o'clock and Steven looked at me. He goes, you know the game's not till 3:30. I go, yeah, I know. He goes, well, why are you here this early? I'm like, well, I was in that purgatory yesterday. I don't know where to go. I can get lost, you know. So, but I love those 3:30 games. Those are great. I'll take those every day of the week. Let's go. More of that.
Everybody's stealing Vern's tweet. He said the Royals will play at 6:38 or military time is 17:38 on Saturday.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah. Oh.
Our buddy and friend of the show, Josh Klingler, quote tweeted it and said, Vern is in pure playoff mode.
That is great.
It says the Royals will play Saturday at 17:38 military time.
Oh, that's wild. I didn't even think about that. That's amazing. Well,
when the Royals get in the playoffs, all they do is win. That's just all they do.
Yeah, they only have like 9 playoff losses since winning the World Series in 85 or something like that.
And now, to your poll question, Bobby and Cole Reagans have 2 playoff wins. Mm-hmm. Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce have 15.
15 playoff wins. All of a sudden, they're 13 behind, right? And you know what? You win 3 against the Yankees. You win 4 against the Tigers. You win 4 against the Padres. And there you go.
But back to, because we got a couple minutes here to kind of throw away a segment. Back to college football, real quick.
Yes, please.
Okay. Travis Hunter should win the Heisman Trophy. Do you think that playing for Colorado will skew that?
Yes, absolutely. That's what I was saying.
But no, you were saying because they don't play anybody. Do you think voters just don't like Deion, so they take it out on Travis
Hunter?
Absolutely.
100%. Yes, absolutely.
You don't think that matters?
I think it's a quarterback award.
No.
It is, but this is different.
This is different.
But he's doing...
We had a defensive player win it.
But he's doing what... What's it? Was it Charles Woodson?
Charles Woodson played both sides.
Now he's no Charles Woodson.
20 years ago,
right? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But that's the last time we've seen a guy play both sides.
That's true.
Effectively,
I mean, the last time somebody on defense won the MVP in the NFL was '86 and Lawrence Taylor. I mean, so
it doesn't happen.
But it doesn't mean it doesn't have to happen. And if you're looking at it as a quarterback award right now and not who's the best player in college football, you're just doing it wrong.
Well, that's just what it's been these past. It's just
Devonta Smith won it.
Yep.
Right, and then there's another receiver that won it recently. Isn't there? Because it's been like Caleb, Jaden, anybody that played for Lincoln Riley outside of Daniels.
It's also such a depleted award, too, because you get to the pros and everybody, you know, wins that Heisman. They fail.
Calvin Ridley, did he win it? No.
No.
I know Devonta Smith won it. That's the last receiver I think has won it. But it is a quarterback award.
It is, but it doesn't have to be.
Like, Derrick Henry 2015 would be the next one.
Both Alabama guys, of course.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's what, speaking of the award, NFL and college need to both do that, where you just take the most valuable player award, and then you also have quarterback of the year.
Right.
College football.
And they do. They have, like, the Doak Maxwell something award.
I mean, in college football, just name it the Peyton Manning, you know, award for quarterback of the year.
Could do that.
And then have, you know, college football's Heisman, which is everybody but a quarterback. Because when you think about when you do the random questions, and Colin Cowherd did the other day, where if you could start a franchise tomorrow, who's your first pick, and it can't be a quarterback? Do you want to guess who his first pick was?
Can't be a quarterback. I'm going to say Chris Jones.
It was.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah, he went all defensive like line, except he went Chris Jones, Miles Garrett, TJ Watt, Max Crosby, and then I think he went Trent Williams.
That's a Hall of Fame class that you just announced right
and
there.
And then I think he went Trent Williams. He's like, I don't care if he's old or getting hurt. He goes, look at all these other left tackles in the league. They get old they play forever.
Yeah.
But the Heisman, though, I do believe it belongs to Travis Hunter. But Milroe might have had that Heisman game.
And that game,
whether you're a college football fan or not, that ranks in the top 5 games you've probably seen in college football in the last 5 years.
But I also think people look at the MVP award in a wrong light. Like, they don't really, like again, the say it out loud test.
Correct.
Most valuable player. And I always take it one step further. Who was the most valuable player in helping their team achieve success? Like, I don't think you can win the MVP award if you don't make the postseason, right? I don't think that's a fair thing. And that's why when you look at the baseball MVP award, which has already been voted on, and Aaron Judge will probably end up winning that, and they'll announce that in November, right around Thanksgiving time. But who has been most valuable to the success of their team? And obviously the MVP MVP this year should be the Chicago White Sox. I mean, they have been more valuable. Seriously, look at three central teams in the final four of the American League. Yeah. We were leaving Jefferson's and people were chanting, thank you, White Sox, dun, 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 right? Like, they should be the MVP because that's why the Tigers, the Royals, and Cleveland for an extent, that's why everybody's in the central. Everybody beat up on them. But honestly, Bobby Witt should be the MVP because he is the most valuable player to his team. You take Bobby Witt off this team, the Royals aren't in the postseason. And Aaron Judge, I know everybody loves, oh, he plays center field and some of this kind of stuff. Bobby Witt made more highlight plays yesterday than Aaron Judge made in the entire season. Yes, Aaron Judge hits the ball over the fence. Bobby Witt puts the ball in play more. Yes, Aaron Judge has the sexy home run trot and all that kind of stuff, and he plays in New York. Bobby Witt's a grinder. Bobby Witt steals bases. Bobby Witt plays defense. Bobby Witt goes out there and literally changes games on a dime by doing more than just blasting one 314 feet and flicking his wrist and sending it down the line. Like, I know Aaron Judge is New York and he's going to win the award, but when you truly sound it out and say most valuable player, Bobby Witt Jr. is clearly the winner of who should be the MVP in the American League, and there really shouldn't be a debate about it.
Let me apologize real quick. The Royals on Saturday play at 5:38. I was reading the graphic that says 6:38, but it says
Eastern time.
I'm sorry. Yes, military time, 17:38 is 5:38. Thank you, text line. I am so sorry. 5:38 local time, which military time is 17:38. And for those of you that are new money fans, like this text, Dusty, what am I missing in the 17:38 thing? Go back to 14.
Wow. How old is that person?
I don't know.
Tell me how old you are, because I want to know if we're getting to that point now where there are people listening now who have no idea what 14 and 15 were about. Like, what age range are you? You know?
In fact, the person that made that song is now in jail for a very long time because of selling cocaine.
Are we allowed to play his music or not?
Fetty Wap?
Just stay through the break, listener, and you'll know what 1738 is.